Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go here on WEEI Afternoons. You are now T-minus 46 hours away from kickoff of what Tom Brady said Friday morning could be game of the year alert. And the anticipation continues to build for Patriots Bucks. We will get you all kinds of hype with the last 3 hours that we have here on our show. Your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here manning the ship. Andy Hart is out on family business today. I'm here alongside Dan Ball, and joining us as he does each and every Tuesday through Friday at 3 o'clock, it's three-time Super Bowl champ Ted Johnson. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, Fitz?
I'm doing great, buddy. Good to see you in here today, my man.
Good to be here, man. Good to be here.
You fired up for a football Friday or what?
Yeah. I mean, this is the first, you know, kind of real, you know, team that the Pats have probably played since the Buffalo game. So a lot of hype around this game. I'm having a hard time totally putting my finger on it because when we – talk about it more in depth at 4 o'clock. There's a lot of similarities in the teams, and it's hard to differentiate really who's a better team. But we'll try and see if we can't figure that one out at 4 o'clock. But yeah, this is the biggest game they've played since Buffalo, and you know they got to validate all these this winning streak that they're on by beating a team that is to me very very much beatable for the Patriots. So excited for that, obviously, and then. Got a Celtics game tonight, right?
That's what I'm
excited about. So
Orlando Magic.
C's are giving me a little something to get excited about. So, Middlebury Panthers taking on the Tufts tomorrow.
Ironic that there's no Tufts representation on the show today.
Scared, ran away. Yeah. Didn't want any of it. So, yeah, we'll.
That sounds about right.
Big game at the soccer field tomorrow. Nice. Tufts tomorrow morning. So, a lot of good stuff this weekend.
Yeah, you do. You got the game tomorrow morning. We'll sandwich in a little college football Saturday as well. Ted, real quick, before we jump into the three-point stances, I'm not sure how much you got a chance to hear of our chat with Josh McDaniels. Just any thoughts you may have had on some of his answers if you heard it. And if you're with my assessment that Josh obviously is a very smart, mature man, but he is entering that sort of elder statesman professorial phase of his work as an offensive coordinator. I'm just so impressed by each and every other Friday when we get a chance to speak to him.
Yeah, no, you know what? The thing that jumps out is that I think he loves Drake May. I think he absolutely loves coaching the kid. I think he's, it feels as if a guy who's in a position in his career that is just fine right where he's at. I think he likes working for Mike. I think he knows he's got a kid that is special that he can, you know, mold. I think Drake, if you listen to Drake talk about Josh, I think he just basically is like, here I am. You know, I'm your blank canvas. Turn me into a great quarterback. And that's smart of him because I think Josh can take him to where he wants to go. And I think Drake can take Josh where he wants to go, which is just, I think at this point, probably just being his legacy is going to be a great offensive mind who can develop quarterbacks. That's a great legacy. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a great head coach in the NFL to have a great legacy. You can build it other ways. And I think Josh is recognizing that In the situation he's been put in.
And it's fascinating, Fitzy, to think about the conversations we were having when McDaniels was first hired. Well, you know, he hasn't built a quarterback that plays like Drake. He hasn't he hasn't built a quarterback that's as athletic and able to escape the pocket the way he does. But maybe we should have positioned the conversation all along as Drake has never worked with an offensive coordinator that can create an environment where he can throw from the pocket the way that Josh McDaniels does. He hasn't worked with a guy who has built pocket passers at the level that McDaniels has. So when in reality we thought maybe it'd be a hole in McDaniels' game as a developer of quarterbacks, in reality it was kind of the perfect max of gunslinger who needs a little bit of discipline and disciplined OC that needs a guy that has some athleticism.
Don't you think he's got to see it as just a fun challenge?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
Hell yes.
Yeah,
hell
it's just
yes.
It's something totally different. He was helped mold the greatest quarterback of all time, stylistically very different from Drake May, who's just it's a souped up, you know, kind of sports car that he's dealing with now. And I just think, God, it's got to be fun to kind of work with a kid who's going to be executing plays that the greatest quarterback to ever play really wasn't good at, or those weren't his strengths. And so I just can't imagine him not being excited about this opportunity he's been given.
Yes, absolutely. I call it the ACE, affability, commitment, and effort that he is putting in. And that's what impresses Josh so much. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Obviously, Ted's big build-up to Pats at Buccaneers coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But since it is the 3 o'clock hour now, it's time for the three-point stance.
319! Ready! 319!
Yeah, go!
It's the three-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good.
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got to scores. Ties it 3-3.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance, and are you ready for that?
Oh, I get to be the Kyrus Tonga. I'm the fullback on this one. I get to lead block?
Always. Always and forever.
Oh, man. What an honor and a pleasure. Okay, I'll do it.
All right, get us that first down. Here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, so obviously so much has been made this week here, other places, in fan forums, probably on bar stools as well, about the New England Patriots, the trade deadline, and their inactivity surrounding the possibility of acquiring some depth, some other talent, maybe even some starters, whoever. And I've been thinking about it a lot. I wasn't a huge fan of it. There was some disappointment that certainly set in. And earlier today when I was reading the Ringer's trade deadline reaction, I saw one of the big losers were the non-Colts AFC contenders. And, of course, the Patriots fell into that category. And then shortly thereafter, I stumbled across via Twitter from Sports Illustrated a quote from Carly Ursay Gordon, the daughter of the late Jim Ursay, who now runs the Indianapolis Colts, who pulled the trigger on the two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner trade. And her quote about it was, "Do you want to band-aid it or fix it in the long term?" Now, I'm equally impressed by that and the fact that she's got some gumption and decided, you know what? I think I can fix an issue on this team, and it's going to cost me a lot, and that's okay. But the Colts have basically figured out who their guys are going forward, and that's good for them. I'm actually a little more okay today with the Patriots' inactivity at the trade deadline than not, because the Pats are still trying to figure out, outside of Drake May, who their guys are. So why trade for somebody and plug them in and not figure out who your long-term helpers are? It actually brought me a little comfort, surprisingly.
Did you guys hear the comments from Sauce Gardner when he got to the Indianapolis?
I haven't yet. No.
What'd he say?
We got to get that. We got to get that because it was interesting. It didn't sound like he was all that excited about going to the
really?
Colts. Yep.
After playing for the New York Jets and that being his only stop in his professional career.
But after playing in a black hole in Jersey? Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the thing that will surprise you. Just listen to the tonality. We'll get that audio for you. But we got to hear him talk because you're kind of like, and that's the one thing I always worry about. You know what? Let's play a little bit, if you don't mind. Stiz has got some. Listen to some of his comments about now being traded to the Colts. This is Sauce Gardner.
Like I said, I don't get paid to have division. They do.
Yeah,
And you know, they got one. And I got to trust them, man. I do.
But when you lose two good players like that, it's obviously going to be harder.
My emotions, like that side of it, I hate it. I hate it. You know what I'm saying? I play football. I play with my brothers. I get to know my brothers. I hate it. But you know, I'm paid to play football. No one cares if I hate it. Go catch the ball. You know what I'm saying? That's how I see it. And yeah, man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability so that stuff like that, they feel like they can keep us all together. Because that's the reality of this thing. You don't win games. You know.
Huh. Wait, hold on. Where's the hallelujah, praise Jesus, and thank you, Carly Ursay Gordon, for saving me?
Not exactly running circles around the house that I thought you were going to get from that.
And that's not exactly the audio that I was looking for, but that's still a good example.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
And that wasn't the exact one. There's better ones. So
I'm paid to play football. I'm paid to go catch the ball. I'll get to know my brothers, and I'm paid to play football. Yeah. It doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies when I hear the term I hate it multiple times in my intro press conference.
Yeah, I think I'm actually super glad that the New England Patriots in no way, shape, or form entertained a trade for Ahmed Gardner. Talk about a lack of – where's the gratitude guy? Somebody else said, hey, you're languishing on this team that is in complete turmoil and turnaround. You're not going to win anytime soon. We might have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And while you're not living in New York City, you're now living in whole milk and wind farm land. My God.
You are making the assumption that winning is the most important thing to him.
That might be
your mistake. Not every player prioritizes winning over, you know, quality of life, where they live, where they started, you know, contracts. Usually contracts number one for guys, but winning doesn't necessarily factor into some of these guys' decisions.
Ted, how was that for you? Like, as far as, was winning always your top priority, or did you start to get comfortable in New England and thought, you know what, maybe I would take a little less to stay here and play with these guys?
Oh, I took less to stay here, so I cared about winning. I cared about winning. That's why I stayed here, is because we won. I've been on teams where I have lost. I've been on two 5-11 teams. So I just, you know, when I was asked to take a pay cut a year or two, I swallowed hard, and I decided, you know, I could go make maybe money somewhere else a little bit more, but I'd rather stay here and win and be a part of something special, which turned out to be the right decision for me.
Text line is surmising that might have been Garrett Wilson, wide receiver for the New York Jets, talking about losing Sauce Gardner.
Oh, shoot. All right.
So that makes a lot more sense why he was not exactly bright and shiny feeling that way. But
regardless. We can all do it. We can do it. The commercial break, we can all do a lap together. That's fine. But I was going to say, like, if I'm Sauce Gardner, I'm like, yes, Miss Ursay Gordon, whatever I can do for you. Like, the guy has been put, Ted, dare I say, you want to talk about going from the poorhouse to the penthouse with that trade?
Yeah. It's we're going to get this audio in the next break, because you got to hear, he's not that different than Garrett Wilson. So I think when you hear that, you'll agree.
We'll move ourselves along here, but it's just a commentary, Fitzy, kind of to your point on your original 3-point stance about the decision making the Colts made. They're looking at a situation where they go, am I really going to get this performance from Daniel Jones every year? Am I going to get Jonathan Taylor healthy and performing at this level for years to come? There are depreciating assets on the Colts that would make you maybe feel a little bit of the pressure. On top of the, we're trying to win one for Dad, which I understand. But
correct.
The Patriots just are squarely not in that situation. As much as fans want the big splashy move that makes you think they're going for a Super Bowl, realistically speaking, you just didn't have to make that kind of move given the timeline of where you're at.
Yeah, and basically, just to divine and winnow it down, I think I'm a little bit more okay with it, because you are still trying to figure out who on the long term is going to be part of the solution, not the problem. And while you're way ahead of expectations now at 7-2, a little depth would have been nice if they could have acquired some. But hey, we're going to see what these guys are made of. Like, the metal is going to be tested over all your free agents, all your recent draft picks, and the Tavais and Marcus Joneses and holdovers from previous regimes. So like they say, it's on the sweatshirt everyone wears in the locker room, Ted. We all we got, we all we need.
There you go. Fair enough. We'll move on with our three-point stance. I'll throw 60 seconds on the clock for myself to talk to you about the Boston Red Sox. Free agency is underway. The offseason is underway. Decision-making needs to happen for Craig Breslow and company. We talk all the time about the outfield logjam. It simply has to be solved. There's people who are surmising there could be multiple moves made in the outfield if you feel like Kyle Tucker looks good wearing the Red Sox red and blue. We talked about trade value and how Jarren Duran and Willy Abreu are likely one or both of the players that are out the door. But I'd like to pause for a moment and talk about Seydon Rafaela. He's been a good ninth hitter in his time as a Red Sox, 262 average. But you move him up in the order to eighth, he's 211. You move him to seventh, it's a .180. The Red Sox have enough nine hitters in their organization to last a lifetime. But what they're missing is guys that can hit at the top of the order and in the middle of the order to get on base and drive guys in. Rafael's an elite defender. I'm not taking that away from him. But so was Jarren Duran in center field when he had his MVP caliber season a year ago. He was an 8-WAR player. That was simply better than what we got from Rafaela this season. So I'm not saying the Red Sox are going to move Seydon Rafaela this offseason, and I'm not saying that any of these players deserve to be moved. But when you combine the potential, the team-friendly contract, and trading from a strength in order to avoid a weakness, I think there may be more trade value in moving Rafaela right now after a pretty darn good year than when we talk about trading Duran or Abreu.
This is an interesting subject because I think some people feel the same way. There's other people that feel the same way you do. Then the case against not getting rid of Sedane, would be for me, was didn't he have like four games where he had walk-offs? At least three games, I know, maybe four, where he was, you know, his last at-bat was the reason they won that game. Did you see him play second base? Looked pretty good playing second
base,
didn't
he? Yeah.
But that is interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, is he just, you know, he's a gold glover, right, in center field? And then you go, well, he's a ninth hitter, and then if you move him anywhere else, he just doesn't hit. And that's, so he's just, I guess, typecasted as a ninth hitter, and you think, gosh, you can get ninth hitters to hit ninth anywhere.
Right.
And so it is an interesting kind of situation. I think they absolutely love the kid. But you know what? There is a case to be made that he could be worth something and you could improve at least the hitting. You know, even though he's had clutch hits, the overall hitting hasn't been what you'd hoped it'd be.
Right. And Fitzy, we're talking about you're moving something. You got to give up something to get something. So if you're in a position where you can acquire that difference-making middle-of-the-order bat, that number two cost-controlled starting pitcher, somebody with a name similar to Joe Ryan, and that's what it costs, I wonder if there's more weight that comes to the Rafaela name. And the one thing that I think this Red Sox team needs almost more than anything else is consistency. I need to know what players are bringing to the park every single day. And Rafaela, man, when he's good, he is a game-changing bat. But when he's cold, he's unplayable. He's not a major leaguer when he's cold. So if you can bring in a more known and consistent quantity, and that's what it costs, I at least pick up the phone on that deal.
I see. It's so funny to think like the different values each and every one of those outfielders not named Roman Anthony could present for you on the trade market. And we're making way for Roman. He is one of your outfielders in 2026 for the next 10 years on that great contract that he signed. So now you got two spots and three guys. So who's going to be the most valuable to another team? Is it going to be the potential MVP worthy, do everything and then some heart, hustle, effort and grit of Jarren Duran? Is it going to be the diet Mookie Betts that is Seydon Rafaela, who unfortunately can be so streaky but oh so dynamic and what a fielder and defensive playmaker? Or is it Willy Abreu, who is the guy that I was willing to move but also has 4 years of cost control? Each presents a unique value to another team that I think, I'd almost want to say spin the wheel and see what teams can offer you, and I'd be curious which one Red Sox fans would be most comfortable parting ways with this offseason.
Isn't Jarren Duran the oldest of the three?
He is. Yeah. He's 28. Yeah.
I don't know. That's got to factor in somehow, but I think it is an interesting, kind of topic is which of the three, if you could only trade one, which one are you parting ways with? If, rubber gun to my head, I would say probably Jarren Duran.
Yeah.
There's highs and lows. There's just too much inconsistency.
And his skill set being as fast as, I kind of look at him like Jacoby Ellsbury. When he was healthy, he was unbelievable. Top of the order, stealing bases, wild child. But when you start to get hurt, when all of a sudden the hamstrings bark in and instead of playing 160, you're playing 140, then 120, when you lose that explosiveness, there isn't a ton left in that kind of player. So we'll see where that one goes, but we'll leave that one there. Mm-hmm. Lots of decisions to be made for the Red Sox this offseason. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, here we go, guys. All right, so how do you quantify buy-in? You know, how do you measure buy-in? There's a couple of ways in which I think you can do it if you're the New England Patriots. One way is just by hearing things like this. Listen to Steph Diggs after this last game talking about his coach, Mike Vrabel.
What about Mike Vrabel, his first game coaching for you guys? You know,
I know, obviously, that's a guy you want to run through a wall for. You know, he obviously was a player. You know, I got a lot of respect for him. We all do.
Words like that will tell you that there's buy-in. And then also, we'll tell you what buy-in is about. Is, I don't know if you guys know this, but this past, you know, every Tuesday in the NFL is Players' Day is off. They get one day off a week. It is Tuesdays. The Patriots had 41 players come in to work out on Tuesday. 41 players. I mean, that's more than two-thirds of your roster showed up on a day off to in week, you know, what are we going into? Week 10 right now to work out. That says a whole hell of a lot. That's how you quantify buy-in. When you get that many guys that don't have to come in, that come in and work out and get better and watch film and want to do the stretching and want to see the trainer and get themselves in good shape so that they can play the games. That tells you everything you need to know. I'm comparing it to the Red Sox players when they started coming in early for games when we were doing shows out at Fenway, and all of a sudden the parking lot for the players was so much more full when I'd come into work later in the season, and it was early in the season. That showed me there was buy-in then for the Red Sox, and this is showing me that there's buy-in now for the Patriots players with their coach, Mike Vrabel.
I remember the very Friday where you came in because it was difficult for you to get in with enough time to get settled for the 3 o'clock turnover, Ted, and you remarked that it was so hard to find a parking space, and the guys that took care of you and parked the truck and everything couldn't find a space, and you're like, what the hell's going on out here? And they're just like, oh, guys are in working out early. And that buy-in, that sort of that lightning bolt went through all of us, and that resonated and reverberated, I think, for amongst all of us, how committed that team was. And so I think it's an apt comparison that you get all these guys that could take the day off during the grind of an NFL season, and instead 41 out of 53 on the active roster are in there getting a lift in and getting treatment. That's impressive. Like, they love their coach. This is literally the opposite of the Tom Jackson thing. This team loves their coach.
They do. And you know what? And it's a thing, coaches. When you feel it as a coach, it's got to be the best feel. I think Marco Sturm called his team out for not having it, and they've ripped off, what, six of the seven games. They won because, you know, he called them out on it, and they, you know what? They heard it, and they said, you know what? Let's figure this thing out, as opposed to sucking their thumbs and feeling sorry for themselves. They're doing something about it. You know, there's a lot of kind of things, you know, the Patriots, there's some growing pains, a lot of players that were cut. Mm-hmm. You got to take almost a step back to go two steps forward. And you got to go through a little bit of pain early in the season with releasing guys and making tough decisions and making calculated moves. Do you take Ramondre Stevenson out even though he's fumbled, or you keep him in there, love him up, and then hopefully get a better response from him? It's a tricky kind of thing that you're trying to do as a coach to develop this culture so that everyone is bought in. But they've done it. He's done it, and credit to him. It's I think the number one hardest thing for a coach to do is to get everybody believing in what you're selling, and it seems like the Pats players are definitely buying what Mike's selling right now.
All right, and there we have it for the three-point stance today, Friday, November 7th, 2025. I'm a little more comfortable with the Patriots' inactivity at the trade deadline because they all they got and they all that they need, and we're going to figure out who's going to be a long-term answer to some of the questions and problems presented before this season. Ted's all in on the Patriots buy-in with 41 guys getting a lift and treatment in earlier this week. They love their coach, and they love him a lot. And Dan Ball wonders if Sedan Rafaela may be the trade chip that yields the Boston Red Sox what they need, be it a bat or a starting arm, in the offseason. If you guys have thoughts or feelings, you can shoot a text or you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And, of course, engage with us on the socials at WEEI Afternoons. After a short break, we'll connect with our guy Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal to pick his brain about what's going on in Tampa this Sunday and how he feels about the way that Drake May is going to handle the biggest challenge to date for him as a professional and starter for the New England.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Patriots. As always, at 3:30 on a Friday, Stanley plays some great 1970s talk show rejoin music. I love this, Diz. Where's this from?
This is a Dan knows all about. This is Dan's favorite rejoin.
This is my request whenever Stiz needs a song and he can't get to Post Malone on the board quick enough. I ask for this song.
Oh, I love it. Oh, this is right in my wheelhouse as well. And I imagine it's in the wheelhouse of our fabulous next guest who's coming up, who, as Andy always likes to say, has a fabulous open and intro. So play it, Stiz.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Grateful every Friday to be joined by the living legend of Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal and, of course, the All 32 podcast. Mr. Giardi, how are you?
What's going on? I hear thing one there. Andy has a tummy ache. I just to contrast, by the way, I was outside burning stuff, chainsaw, like manly, like just, you know, and then Andy's got a bellyache.
Oh, man, you were just getting after it, having a dude day, huh? That's awesome. That's
oh, my God, totally.
We know the Sometimes definition just... of a man around here, Mike Giardi. We know how you compare to Andy Hart.
I love it. On his 500 thread count sheets at Shea Giardi. So, Mike, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the trade deadline, so I'll just open up there in anticipation of Sunday's big game down in Tampa. Pats supposedly try to make some moves. They do or don't engage with the Titans, and in the end, don't acquire any new starters, any alts, or any depth pieces. What was your thought?
I wasn't mad at him, but I would say it's a little bit of a missed opportunity, just in the sense that you took the week before, you spun off Keon White and Kyle Duggar, who were both rotational pieces for you or depth pieces for you, and you got rid of them. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, look, Keon White thing wasn't working at all. But Kyle played two straight games when Jalen Hawkins was out and didn't come off the field. And, like, again, he's not a perfect fit for what they want to do, but he held the fort down and maybe played his best game in like a year and a half during that process. So I get the contract thing and you want to move the contract, but like I figured something would be coming back, and instead the something that's coming back is, you know, John Saunders, the practice squad guy from Miami, and Brendan Rice signed to the practice squad. You know, like that's not exactly what I expected.
In lieu of that, Mike, with the roster kind of now set for the most part with no big additions coming, where are the biggest areas of weakness in terms of the depth on this roster, given that the team chose not to address them at the deadline?
Well, I would say stay safety for starters, right? I mean, you've already had a situation where Hawkins has had the hamstring in this time. I like Del Pettis as a player, but they're not a one-for-one trade. So, you know, that would you be foisting a lot on a second-year undrafted free agent in Del Pettis. That'd be an area I think you're going to see this weekend, just the testing of, and this is kind of funny to say the way it went the first couple weeks, but Christian Ellis has been playing good football for you, and you do have Tavai there, so it gives you a little bit more cushion, but you're probably going to see a little bit more Jack Gibbons, and that's probably not the greatest thing for that defense. And then edge, like you're having a problem consistently generating pass rush. They need more. I said it last week. They need more from the interior guys in terms of affecting the quarterback. But the outside guys, especially Harold Landry, like a lot of snaps, dealing with an injury, like hasn't been sort of the same player since that Saints game.
Hey, Mike, I'm curious what you think, what's at stake here in this game for the Patriots, from the Patriots' perspective. You know, they got a good little kind of, you know, little season going here, 7-2. You know, arguably they're the best number one seed right now, I think, in the AFC, but... You know, just your thoughts on what's at stake here. If they, you know, losing this game versus winning this game, what do you think this game represents for the Patriots?
Well, it's the biggest game they played on the schedule since Buffalo, right? And not to diminish the wins that have come in between those games, right? But the Buffalo game was like, all right, show me what you got. And they did. And they showed a lot of people like, hey, they went toe-to-toe and they actually beat Buffalo in Buffalo, which sort of, I think, maybe helped alter the view of how this season could play. And now for the first time since then, you're playing a team that's got a record like yours. They're 6-2. They're coming off the bye. You know, a lot of hype about them in the first month of the season. They've come down to earth a little bit, I think in part because of injuries. But, like, you go to Tampa Bay and you win in Tampa Bay, even with the injuries, that's, you know, that's another one, another sort of feather that you can put in your cap and say, like, doesn't matter where we go, doesn't matter who we play. I know what you can say about our schedule, but we're taking on all comers and we're beating them.
Mike Giardi from the Boston Sports Journal and the All 32 podcast, friend of the show, joining us here on WEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday. Mike, I wonder with the focus that's come this week on, you know, with Drake May talking about the accountability and his role in getting sacked so frequently, and then obviously having to deal with such a ferocious defense coming from Tampa. Are we going to see, you think, a more conservative, steady, or measured game plan from the Pats offensively against Tampa?
I don't think so. I think Josh McDaniels kind of was just like yesterday when I asked about, like, and it wasn't the proper phrasing, and he kind of, I don't know if I use the word fix, but, like, how do you sort of minimize some of these sacks that Drake has said, like, hey, it's on me. And if you looked at three of the last six in the game against Atlanta, we're on him. Like, he just held the ball too long and, you know, just throw the ball away. That's just not in his nature. And I think Josh said, you know, like, it's experience, right? He's only played 21 games as a starter, so he's still learning this process. But it's also like, hey, he makes a lot of good plays out of structure or when he hangs onto the ball and waits that extra beat. And so that's part of what we're going to have to live with. and that's a strange way to put it, but that's part of the deal, right? Like, you have this young mobile quarterback who throws the ball great down the field, who thinks at times he can make a play, and he's done it a lot this year. So it's like, you want him to protect himself more, and that's just going to come with more experience. But for now, it might just be like, this is how it's going to be. There might be a sack or two a game where you go, ah, Drake, I wish you'd thrown the ball away. But then there might be a play or two a game where it's like, that guy didn't throw a ball away, and he found that, you know, Kayshon Booty 40 yards down the field, or Steph Diggs or Pop Douglas. Like, those are the sorts of things and the balance that he's trying to walk here.
Mike, no Kayshon Booty in what has been a breakout season for him, especially on the deep ball. So who's the player I'm taking the over on for the receiving yards? Who's the player to watch in the pass game this week?
I think it comes down to Diggs again. He's been a little bit quiet three of the last 4 weeks, at least in terms of volume catches. Obviously, he's gotten the end zone the last 2 weeks. But I just think the two guys that he trusts the most of the receivers are Diggs and Kayshon. You take Kayshon out of it, I'm sure Kyle Williams will get more run. Although I would bet that there's going to be some mixing and matching there at the X. But to me, it would be Diggs, and just sort of, hey, this is another one of those big games, buddy. And you showed in Buffalo, you showed out, and you've had a history of doing some stuff like this. So let's get it going again.
So, Mike, in my 3-point stance, I kind of referenced just the buy-in right now, it's hard to quantify buy-in, but I just played some cuts of guys talking about Mike, how much they love Mike, but also when you hear that 41 guys showed up for their workouts on Tuesday when it was their day off, that to me signals to me that there's total buy-in. Do you feel the same way, and are you surprised by how fast Mike has been able to get these guys to believe in what he's been selling them?
In part, Ted, I think because they were so intentional about some of the pieces that they did bring in the offseason, the guys like Milton Williams, hey, we're going to spend a crap ton of money on a guy who hasn't necessarily, he never been a full-time player before. So you're taking a little bit of a leap of faith, but you do the investigation and you talk to people and like, this dude works. This dude wants to be great. When given the opportunity in Philadelphia, he was great or really damn good. So like, I think there were a lot of pieces, and bringing some of the guys that he knew, I mentioned Jack Gibbons, like that's a guy who just, he works his ass off every day. There's some limitations to his game, but like, he knows and respects Mike and knows that Mike's going to put him in the best position possible. And I think that's kind of the thing that I come back to, is I think it's pretty easy to buy in, Ted. And maybe you can speak to this too. Like, when you know your coach is going to put you in the best spot possible, doesn't matter whether the coach is a good guy, bad guy, whatever, gruff, hey, I know that I'm going to show up on Sunday and like, I have a chance to have a real good game because I'm in a role that fits me perfectly. And I think he's done a great job with the pieces this year, even some of the depth pieces, like plugging him into places and saying, hey, we've come away from games and they're like, Christian Ellis is pretty good that game. And whatever, name the piece, that sort of the middle of the roster guys. And I just think that's been something that's really, then you start winning. So now you have the combination. He's put me in the right place and we're winning. Oh yeah. Whatever you want me to do, coach, I'll run through a wall for you right now.
So Mike, we're getting close to wrapping up here. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see the game last night, or should I say sorry if you happened to. What an absolute trash fire that game was.
Hideous. Oh. Absolutely hideous.
Can we tap the brakes on the Bo Nix love? Jeez.
Teddy, thank you. Tom Curran and I, it was a friendly argument on TV on Wednesday, and he's like, I can't believe you. They had me do my power ranks, and I had Denver like fifth or sixth or something. How can Denver be that far down? That's a really good team. That defense is great. Somebody might have texted me last night in the third quarter of that game. Somebody might have said, you're right, Bo Nix, not good. I won't tell you who. You can take a guess, but I just,
Rhymes with Mom Shurin.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, so this is a huge opportunity for these Patriots, obviously, Mike. To lose by 3 or 4, be in it against a team that could be a Super Bowl contender would be massive as well. But the AFC is still so freaking wide open at this point now. So, I think this is more than just like, all right, guys, we flew down there and had a good game. Massive opportunity at hand. So. I got him by 3. How do you see it playing out?
The more I dug into this thing and the more I looked at some of the things that are happening with Tampa Bay offensively, and now looking at, Bucky Irving and Godwin, and we know Evans isn't going to be there. Like, I don't think their offense can run with your offense. I think you're going to outscore them. I think you're going to win the football game.
Okay, Mike, last question from this side of the street. What are your thoughts overall on the the deals that were done at the trade deadline? Do you think the Colts made out? Do you think both the Colts and the Jets made out? Do you like the deal Jacksonville did? What are your thoughts about some of the decisions or non-decisions some of the teams made at the trade deadline?
Well, I think the first thing that stood out to me, Ted, was the fact that, you know, less than a year ago, you were the worst team in the league, and it took the Bills out-tanking you in the last game for you not to get the number one pick. And here you are, whatever it was, 9-10 months later, you're 7-2. You got the second seed right now currently, and you're atop the AFC East. Meanwhile, the Jets took two of their three cornerstone players, one who's 28 in Quinnen Williams and one who's 25 in Sauce Gardner, and they peddle them off for draft picks. And then Miami, you know, they fired the GM 2 weeks ago. The head coach is, you know, hanging on by a thread. And I think the quarterback is, it wouldn't surprise me if he's gone at the end of the year, whether that means trading him or eating the money and just saying we're taking that Russell Wilson type dead cap hit. So that like really stood out to me, how quickly the positions have changed here in the AFC East and what better position you're in now. And then from like the Colts perspective, Ted, look, they were going to be picking in the late 20s this year. So, you know, everybody talks about the draft capital and like that's a lot to give up. And it is. It is a lot to give up because it's also the cost control. But you can't guarantee that you're going to get a player as good as Sauce Gardner. You'll be lucky if one of those two players that you're drafting in the 20s or whatever becomes a really good player for you down the line and becomes a player that's as talented as Sauce Gardner. So I get it from their side, too. Like, it's a price to pay. But they believe that they got a chance. So what the hell? Go for it.
As he tweeted last night at 10:50 p.m., why am I still watching this game? Mike, you are truly you're a glutton for punishment, and you're one of us as well. Give him a follow at Mike Giardi on the socials as well. Joins us each and every Friday at 3:30 p.m. on WEI Afternoons, Patriots Fridays. Mike, have a great weekend, buddy. Go back to the manly man activities you were engaged in.
Yes, men stuff. Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys. All right.
Great chatting with you, buddy. Mike Giardi and his man stuff here on WEEI Afternoons. We're going to throw it to commercial break. When we come back, we'll react to some of Mike Giardi's posits and positions there as well. Before we get into the 4 o'clock hour, you're not going to want to miss it. Teddy's hype, Teddy's buildup for what's going down at Raymond James Stadium Sunday. Patriots at Buccaneers. It's all coming up on WEEI.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Just your thoughts on what's at stake here. If they, you know, losing this game versus winning this game, what do you think this game represents for the Patriots?
Well, it's the biggest game they played on the schedule since Buffalo, right? And not to diminish the wins that have come in between those games, right? But the Buffalo game was like, all right, show me what you got. And they did. You go to Tampa Bay and you win in Tampa Bay, even with the injuries. That's another one, another sort of feather that you can put in your cap and say, like, doesn't matter where we go, doesn't matter who we play. I know what you can say about our schedule, but we're taking on all comers and we're beating them.
Taking on all comers and beating them. This would be your 7-2 Patriots. That perspective brought to you by our pal Mike Giardi. Just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons, if you happen to miss Mike Giardi or our chat earlier with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, you guys know how to find it. You can subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast or the Six Rings podcast as well, or just use the Odyssey app, rewind, and listen at your leisure. Guys, I feel like we can't actually make enough about this game now. Now this isn't just, hey, it's a cute little test for the Patriots, and, oh, it's a really fun 1 o'clock game finally where we won't be hearing from, you know, Spiro Dedis on the call. Like, no, we got the big boys on the call. Eyes are on the prize. This is a nationally spotlighted televised game. And it's, you know, this is a huge test for the Buccaneers because they want to prove that they can be or are the top dog in the NFC. And the Pats want to prove that they belong. But also, again, this AFC is wide open. Like you were saying in our text thread last night, Ted, like, you got to be kidding me. Bo Nix and these Broncos are a Super Bowl contender at 8-2 leading the AFC West. That was pure garbage. There's a lot on the line for the Pats Sunday, Ted.
Yeah, there is. There is. And I just think for more than anything, there's a lot on the line for just their own kind of state of mind, team psychology, just how the team collective, what is their confidence collectively? They need to win a game like this to feel like, because there's a part of them that are looking at these wins that they're piling up and they're going, yeah, I mean, it's the Saints, you know, it's the Titans. Come on, it's the Browns, you know, the Falcons. They haven't really, you know, they haven't really been doing much. They needed to. You need to play like. So I'm gonna go to a boxing match tomorrow night, and I got a friend who's a boxer, and he's been looking for better fights because he's an 8-0. And so the only way you can get ranked higher in your division to get better fights is if you beat better competition. So the Patriots, it's the same thing. They kind of need better competition to really know what they have. Because I don't know if they know exactly what they have. There are metrics, guys, and there are numbers that if you look at this Patriots team, the record, it says – one thing, and the metrics say another thing. There are questions with this team. They have deficiencies, but it's being covered up because of the quarterback play and because of the soft schedule. So they need to go win a game like this against a quality opponent to really feel more confidently, Dan, moving forward.
Yeah, that DVOA number that you brought up about it being the easiest, I think you said since 1978.
It's for a 7-2 team, it's the worst DVOA for a 7-2 ranked team since 1978,
which tells a great story, and it's followed by the fact that you had the easiest winning percentage of games so far, and you have the easiest winning percentage of games moving forward. But to Giardi's point about this being the biggest game since the Bills game, I think there are two, despite being two good tests, completely different circumstances that you find yourself in, where you were 2-2 going into that Bills game, but you were a Devon Achane toenail away from being 1-3. You beat the Bills team despite being, I think, massive underdogs in the eyes of a lot of fans. This one, you can no longer point to where the underdog. You are squarely in the fight for being one of the better teams in football. And to your point, it's something that we haven't talked about a lot, Ted. you got to prove to yourself in the room that it's not bluster. I don't care what the fans say. I don't care what the media says, Fitzy, about our chances. I got to prove to you, to me, and everybody, we all we got, we all we need, that we are legitimate. So there is a little bit of a looking in the mirror aspect of this game as well.
And a team that you're not very familiar with because they're in the other conference, a team that you've heard a lot of good things about, a team with a defensive, a former defensive coordinator at head coach who can throw some exotic schemes and has a ferocious front seven. This will be a great test for Drake May, for the players on offense, not named Kayshon Booty or Ramondre Stevenson, for this offensive line. Like, each and every one of them can stake a claim that they belong and that they also have a bright future in Foxborough and potentially in the postseason as well. Before we catch a break, let's grab a phone call at 617-779-7937. Let's go to line one, Dan. Who we got?
We got Kelly in Amherst. What's going on, Kelly?
Hey, guys. Hey, I appreciate the analysis today. I just want to say, you know, Ted was mentioning about the confidence of the team and, you know, what it can mean going forward. And I want to say specifically, you know, I think sometimes the quarterback gets a little bit too much credit. You know, there's like 800 people on a freaking football team to single out one guy. You know, it's a little crazy.
Yeah.
But I will say this showdown right here between Drake and Baker Mayfield, I really do feel like it's going to come down between, the you know, which quarterback can get it done, and specifically who can make that last play, who can stay cool in the fourth quarter. And I'm excited to see it. I think the Pats are going to win.
Let's hope. You know, talking about coolness in the fourth quarter, that's been Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's brought his team back from four times this year to win late in games. So he's kind of got that in his DNA. You know, curious to see how Drake May feels about that. And I hear you on the quarterback getting all the attention. I played in an era which it's either it was the coach or the quarterback. So I can relate to that. But I kind of want to see Drake May bring the team back, you know, on a last win, you know, game winning drive kind of thing. Just be put in that situation. How does he do? We know Baker is kind of ice cold in those situations. I'd like to see how Drake does in that. I think it's going to be a nip tuck game. I think it's going to come down to maybe the last drive. That's how I'm viewing this game so far.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of people see it as well, Teddy. I don't think anyone really sees this game as a blowout. And of course, earlier this week, NFL.com, they were first for the predictions as well. And 9 out of 10 people at NFL.com, their experts picked the Buccaneers over the Patriots. The lone wolf, if you will, to pick the Patriots was Colleen Wolf. And for those that keep tabs on things like this, she was the lone NFL.com expert to pick the Patriots a few weeks back against the Buffalo Bills as well. So I love the fact that she doubled down on the Patriots being on the road against a possible Super Bowl contender.
I think I saw the same stat real quick, Fitzy. I think it's like literally like 15 people picked and like one person picked the Pats. Which is kind of shocking. But to your point, I saw the same graphic and was surprised the same way you were.
Yeah, she can drink on my tab anytime. 617-779-7937. You got people like Kelly from Amherst calling and saying they can't wait for this game. Well, if we can possibly get you any more hype, then you are not going to want to miss Ted's buildup. He's going to preview the game only the way a Super Bowl champion can on the other side. You are listening to WEEI Afternoons. Don't you go anywhere.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.